Listen to Lisa while you're at work. WICC600.com. Back to the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC600.
And welcome back to the Lisa Wexler Show. Joining us right now is Susan Danisco, who has many different titles and many different, degrees. She is the APRN professor and director of Family Nurse Practitioner, Doctor of Nursing Practice Program. She works at Sacred Heart University at the Richard J. Henley College of Nursing, and she is leading up a project, I guess it's an investigative project of sorts, to talk about alternatives to opioids in the use of trying to address pain. Nurse Danisco, hello, Susan. Welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show today. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Lisa. How are you?
I'm good.
I was listening to your piece about the Meghan Markle and the Oprah interview, and I watched it and I enjoyed it. But I do agree with you about one of the things you said about that Oprah was surprised, acted surprised, but she wasn't in regards to the
right.
Color of the
it was a little disingenuous, don't you think? I mean, if it was an honest reaction, it would have been sure, of course. But how did you take it? Right. I mean, the fact that she was so surprised surprised me. I mean, who are we kidding?
Yeah. Anyway,
but it was, look, from the mother's point of view, it's still upsetting. No question about it. I mean,
absolutely.
It's gross. Of course, from her point of view, it's completely gross. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, and Susan, what do you, I mean, you're a nurse, you're a family person, you're all about training into insight and nonverbal cues. I mean, when you were listening to Meghan Markle, were you thinking, as I was thinking, that she might have had a very bad bout of postpartum depression?
She could have, based on that she spoke about, you know, her feelings of wanting to hurt herself or feelings of worthlessness, hopelessness, and wanting to end her, thinking about ending her life. She had suicidal ideation. So she could have.
I mean, I was thinking that that's why I was thinking he was panicked. I have a cousin who had two children, and the first postpartum apparently was bent. She's a very close cousin, but she didn't come clean about postpartum until several years after all of this. She had two sons. The first one, she told us in retrospect, was bad. But after she had her second son, she didn't get out of bed for 5 months. Now, she'd always struggled with depression, but her postpartum depression was a completely other level. And it was so bad that she said she wouldn't take a chance of having another child. It was really, really scary for the family.
Yeah. No, I've seen, I've worked in, I don't know if you're familiar with the Holbrook Foundation, now it's the St. Vincent's Psychiatric Hospital in Westport. And years ago, I worked there, and there was a woman that was hospitalized for postpartum depression. She was there for 4 months, and she seemed to be okay, but when she was discharged, she committed suicide. It was really a tragic, it still sticks in my head as, you know, one of the tragic patient stories that, you know, I've come across over the years.
Susan, not only am I familiar with it, but I'm in that hospital sometimes two times a week.
Oh.
Because I'm the probate judge in Westport.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I worked at Holbrook Hospital for 8 years. Before I became a nurse practitioner, and then when I became a nurse practitioner, I worked there for a while. So
yeah.
I have a special place in my heart. I also met my husband there. Even
really?
Though he wasn't a patient, but he was a nurse there also.
That's very cool. Did you know Dr. Germain? Was he there then?
Yeah. Yes, he was there. Uh-huh.
He's still there. He's wonderful. What a wonderful doctor.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah. So I'm there all the time. Go ahead.
Silberman? Dr. Silberman?
Not there anymore.
He was there.
Not there anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Right. He was there when I was there.
Yeah. No, it's a good place, and it was rebuilt, I guess, about, 13, 14 years ago, maybe a little more. And, they took down the old building, and it's a good place. They try and help people there. So we're chatting
absolutely.
With Susan Danisco. So tell me about this Director of the Alternatives to Opioids for Pain Project. What is that about? What is your goal there?
So alternatives to opioids or pain, the acronym we call it is ALTOP. Basically, it's a four-year HRSA-funded initiative. And there's a couple overarching goals. One is to educate healthcare providers on the use of non-opioid analgesics and alternative treatments to control pain instead of prescribing an opioid. We partnered with two large federally qualified health centers in Bridgeport, Southwest Community Health Center and Optimus, and also a pain management clinic in New Haven County. And what we're doing is we're really trying to enforce the CDC guidelines for managing chronic pain. The other part of the project is we are trying to get half of the funding goes to training nurse practitioner students to be primary care clinicians in medically underserved areas. And we also recognize that in the curriculum, we don't teach students about managing pain. And this is medical schools, nurse practitioner, PA schools. We touch on it, but we don't delve it into a lot. So part of it is getting students into training. We've created a couple courses to train them about appropriate pain management, and we rotate the students to a pain management clinic.
So let's talk about that. I think we don't have to go into too much detail about why we don't want people on opioids anymore, because we have a pandemic of opioid overdose. The addiction, the actual biological addiction of opioids has been proven again and again. And the craving takes over the brain in a way that crowds out rational decision making, normal functionality, and it just wreaks havoc with people's lives. Just as simple as that. And as complicated as that. So if we can get people addressing their pain with something that doesn't, you know, end up having them steal and take overdoses and take risks and have things laced with fentanyl and die, that would be a good thing. Mm-hmm. So Susan, Nurse Danisco, tell me about acupuncture. Tell me about Jinshin therapy. Those are my two pain alternatives that I use when I have pain in my life. Tell me about how you address things that are non-invasive. Is that part of your project as well?
Yes, actually, we did an evidence review on the best treatments for alternative pain modalities, and those are acupuncture, chiropractic care, cognitive behavioral therapy, or just going to see somebody to talk about your problems, exercise, walking, swimming, yoga, tai chi, those sorts of things. There's a lot of things that people can do. They can practice mindfulness, meditation, nutrition, and weight loss is huge because people have chronic pain because they're overweight and they're putting a lot of pressure on their arthritic joints and backs. So, physical therapy is one of the first go-to, in my practice. I practice at Southwest Community Health Center on Thursdays, and I'm always referring my patients for physical therapy.
And so physical therapy is key. A lot of insurance will only cover a certain amount of treatments. Then you're on your own, and then people stop and they get out of practice and they get lazy. What is, in your opinion, nurse, what is your most, if there is any, what do you think is the most effective, weight loss approach? Is there one effective weight loss approach? I mean, that's the $1 million question, right?
Yeah, it's a really hard
one. It's a $1 trillion question, actually. Yeah.
People that are morbidly obese, sometimes it's genetic. Sometimes it's an addiction to food that keeps them in that way, in that circular motion of, I'm going to comfort myself, and so there's no easy answer. I refer patients to the nutritionist in my practice, and, they're given some dietary instructions. I talk to patients about that. There are medications that can be given for weight loss. They're using some of the diabetic medications that are injectable, have been used for to help people that are non-diabetic lose weight. There's also medications that block the fat absorption that helps you to lose weight. There's also then, which I don't use, is like phentermine, which is a controlled substance. You know, it's sort of like speed that cuts your appetite. But that's addictive, so I tend not to use that. And then, you know, of course, there's the weight loss surgeries now. Bariatric surgery is very popular.
It's really, I mean, we could talk about weight loss on and on and on, because I happen to believe it's the number one factor, criteria, contributor, whatever word you want to call it, in addressing overall public health. It just cuts across just about every disease, including, by the way, COVID.
Oh, yeah. All the, you know, the patients and, you know, that have succumbed to COVID, many of them have been obese, morbidly obese with multiple comorbidities that, you know, are uncontrolled. And that's, you know, part of my work at the community health center where I work and, you know, teaching nurse practitioner students. You know, we do focus on, you know, how do we help control people's chronic diseases? How do we, you know, help them promote their own health and make the correct choices? It's really tough.
Nurse Danisco, do you like our current healthcare delivery system? Let's just focus on Connecticut for a bit. Do you think that it is effective and equitable?
No. I've committed my career to working with medically underserved populations. So I've worked in inner city Bridgeport for 30 years, and I think we do a great job in the federally qualified health center system to give people the care that they need, to give people access to care. But I see the barriers for those individuals that I care for. You can't, if you're on Medicaid, you cannot get a specialty appointment quickly. So if you wanted to see a neurologist or an orthopedic surgeon or an endocrinologist, very difficult to get those people into that practice. So they're disenfranchised in terms of that. So we end up as a primary care provider in that setting, managing things that should go to a specialist in a timely manner. So I would say no. Also, people that don't have insurance, in Bridgeport, we have a large immigrant population, refugee population that are uninsured. And so they can't get testing. They can't get x-rays or CAT scans. They can't pay for their medications. It's a real problem. I face it, you know, each time I practice. You know, I'm always, part of my job is to figure out how do I get people things that they need. Where are the free care programs? Both Bridgeport Hospital and St. Vincent's, or now it's Hartford Healthcare, both have free care programs for patients. But it's hard for people to navigate the system to get there. You have language barriers, transportation barriers, health literacy problems. So, no, there's definitely inequities in healthcare in the state.
Yeah, I think it's and I hear what you're saying about Medicaid. When you're on it, you know, at least you have a wide spectrum of coverage. But if you're not on it, and by the way, you can get kicked off it for having such a criminally small extra amount of money. It's laughable. A few hundred dollars and you can get kicked off it.
I have a patient now, a lovely person who is a hardworking woman who works in a daycare center. She's getting her associate's degree in early child development, and she makes too much money to qualify for Medicaid. She's a very brittle diabetic and in her 50s, has some heart failure issues, and it just really, she goes to three different pharmacies to get her medication. So she can get some of it for free, some of it at discount at Walmart. And, you know, I mean, it's pretty impossible.
It's basically a full-time job to manage her care in terms of the logistics of trying to get her care. And so, and you look at that situation and you're the nurse, you're the healthcare provider, and you say, you know what? You might've been better off sitting on your tuchus, earning no money. At least you get Medicaid and at least you get care. But this is a woman with the motivation and the heart and the desire
yep.
to keep working and producing and being a contributing member of society. And so it's a disincentive.
Mm-hmm. No, it is. It really is. And I could tell you many patient stories about, you know, different patient scenarios I have that are very similar.
My own opinion about healthcare is evolving over time because mm-hmm. I used to be very against, you know, this idea of socialized medicine. I didn't like the idea of the government controlling the means of production, so to speak, with our healthcare and 1/6 of the economy. But our healthcare system is so broken, and I'm not sure it's a one size fits all even now. I'm not sure what the answer is. Maybe the answer is a lot of tweaks, a lot. Because our healthcare system has so many cross incentives and there's a lot of profit motives built into the system, right? Right?
Absolutely.
But we can't ignore it. Like, we can't just look away from it and say that it's okay. I think we have to keep at it. I think we have to keep trying to make it better.
Yeah. Well, that's why, you know, for nurses, I'm training nurse practitioner students, so advanced practice nurses with a doctoral degree, so hopefully that they can. We're educating them to look at healthcare systems issues and what they can do to make changes as, you know, we're hoping they become leaders in healthcare so that they can help influence some of these things that are going on.
So, Nurse Danisco, what advice, if any, do you have for us right now in terms of this COVID pandemic crisis? You're right there. You're online. Whether we've had COVID, whether we haven't had COVID, do you have advice for us in the public right now?
Continue to wear your mask when you go out. The COVID pandemic has really, you know, in terms of mental health issues, you know, we've lost work, our kids aren't in school, everything keeps changing, the social isolation, which has kind of led to some of the, you know, opioid misuse along the way. But I would just say now we have to maintain our cool. We have to get our vaccines. I cannot, you know, say enough about we need to get vaccinated so we get that herd immunity. Continue to do what we've been doing, social distancing, wearing a mask. And I think as more people get vaccinated, things will start to open up, but try not to lose hope. I mean, we've all sort of have gotten used to this new normal now, you know, and to not give up. Don't get tired. We all have pandemic fatigue, but just try to and lean on people, you know, when you feel down or depressed, try to find that support system to help you get through it.
Thank you very much, Nurse Susan Danisco. It's a pleasure to get to know you. I'm sorry that I'm not meeting you in person. I hope to do so one day. Thanks for being on the show this morning.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me. I'm sorry I got off topic with the Meghan Markle.
No, I like it. I love going off topic. My whole life is off topic. I enjoy that. I enjoy that. And I thank you for your opinion about it. And also for, you know, the countless days and hours and your devotion to the underserved population. I thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you, Lisa.
We'll be back with
Have
more of the
day.
Lisa Wexler Show. You too. Right. We'll be right back.